Welcome to Richland Roundtable, an opportunity to have a conversation, to inform, to reassure, to give us an opportunity to better understand the issues that we face locally. Certainly, it's geared toward people in Richland County, but the information that we're going to share is good for people everywhere. I'm Ron Fruit, very pleased to have the opportunity to welcome some very special guests who will help us share and learn more about circumstances today. Rose Cahoot joins us. Rose is the public health manager, the local health officer for Richland County. Health and Human Services Director Tracy Thorson joins us, and County Administrator Clint Langrick is with us as well. Hope you benefit from our conversation, and what you learn here, I hope you can share with others. And the eventual goal, of course, is just to be a better informed community that is able to deal with the unprecedented times we face. We're going to begin with Rose Cahoot, who is our public health officer. And Rose, I think about you and how many times we call on you every time something goes wrong, whether it's a flood, a polar vortex, a severe weather event, or COVID-19, we turn to public health.
Public health, for the most part, has been one of the best-kept secrets in town. However, when we do have emergency scenarios, then folks tend to learn a bit more about what public health does.
This is a very busy time for you, isn't it, Rose?
It is indeed. I am very fortunate to have some extremely hardworking nurses and other individuals assisting us in this process. Without their help and without their commitment, it would be a very difficult journey.
I'm anxious for this conversation today because my sense is, Rose, there are lots of people who want to do what they need to do and to help keep us healthy. They just have questions about what that happens to be.
That's true. And if I can provide them with information that may help them make informed decisions, I'm very happy to do so.
Well, let's start and just talk about life in general. If we see someone who's outside going for a walk, riding their bike, are they ignoring or not following the safer at home order?
I know that when the safer at home order was issued, and that happened on March 25th, folks who've had the opportunity to read through it, and those who haven't, have made some judgments as to what they think that document may mean. There is language, however, specific to being outdoors in the Safer at Home Order. We know that it's a large document because it attempts to answer many questions regarding what is an essential or non-essential industry or business, but it also goes in to explain in more detail what an essential activity is. And part of the Safer at Home Order includes language that says that being outside, engaging in activities such as walking, running, biking, or hiking are considered appropriate essential activities. Also included in those essential activities are grocery shopping, seeking health care, going to work if you're working in an essential business or industry, and then also getting your pharmacy needs met, things of that sort. So being outside is considered an appropriate way to engage in the community, and it's not considered something that would be considered a public health threat. However, folks do need to be mindful when they're out. They need to engage in certain preventive practices, such as maintaining social distance. We've talked about this many times, but at least keeping a 6-foot distance between individuals when they're visiting or conversing. Also ensuring that when we're out and when we come back in, that we're washing our hands, that we're avoiding touching our face, and that if we are out, we are covering our coughs and sneezes. Last Saturday, the Centers for Disease Control issued or released updated guidelines regarding the use of masks for folks who are entering the community. And now we are seeing more folks in our community wearing masks, and the CDC refers to them as cloth face coverings. And folks who are engaging in outdoor activity are also welcome, and it is recommended that they wear a cloth face covering to help to provide them, not necessarily with protection for themselves and avoiding being exposed to the virus, but also it's going to be helping to protect those that they come in contact with. as a cloth face covering actually helps to contain any droplets that the wearer may be dispersing, and it may help to reduce the amount of transmission of virus that can occur during an interaction. But face coverings alone are not enough to minimize risk. Cloth face covering should be used in conjunction with all the other preventive actions.
So in other words, that a cloth face covering is kind of taking the place of my sleeve when I cough, right?
In a way, yes, it is. It helps to contain those droplets, which are considered to be one of the most virulent sources of transmission. Yes, it does, and it helps to contain that.
Rose, let's talk a little bit about the advice that you would give as our public health nurse when it's time to go shopping.
Yes. We understand that engaging in grocery shopping and activities such as those are considered essential and they are permitted. I know that with children being home now since school is out and knowing that child care may be difficult to find, we do see that there are times when perhaps a family or a mother and children are in a grocery store shopping, and we really do encourage, if it can occur, that if the children can be left at home or if only one member of a household is able to leave to conduct those essential activities, that would be an ideal scenario. But we have to be realistic. We understand that there are times when a mother or a family may find it very difficult to not bring their children with them. And in those cases, we would ask that they be mindful when they're in the community, that they try to maintain social distance when they're in the store, that if they can keep their children closer to them and not have them, maybe moving about, in a more far-flung scenario. We understand that when folks are shopping, we always tend to touch items and products. So any way that we can kind of refrain from touching things that we don't have to pick up would be helpful as well. And then if folks would want to utilize a cloth face covering when they're out, that would also be helpful to help protect others from them. So even under the best of circumstances, it may be difficult for folks to not take more than one individual out when they're engaging in shopping. But if they are able to do that, our fondest hope would be that they try to send just one individual out if at all possible.
The other thing I've heard as a strategy, Rose, often is be purposeful when you're shopping. Know what it is that you need, get it, and go.
Yes, that reduces the steps that you take, and it minimizes the contact that you may have with other folks. If you're walking through the grocery store and are not quite sure what products you may need, that further exposes you and other folks to the possible transmission of the virus. So, yes, purposeful shopping is definitely recommended.
You talked about the fabric face covering, and I know there are lots of patterns and there are people in our community, Rose, that are making masks. But I've also seen people like just using a bandana. Is that a suitable opportunity?
It is. Any way that we can help contain, again, those droplets that may be emitted when folks are coughing, sneezing, and even talking is helpful. It'll help minimize that risk. The reason that the Centers for Disease Control recommended the use of cloth face coverings in the community was that recent studies are indicating that folks are often transmitting the virus before they ever develop symptoms, and we find that some folks who never develop symptoms are capable of transmitting that virus. So given those unknowns, that's why the face coverings were recommended. But yes, face coverings do not have to be elaborate at all. In fact, the most important thing is that they fit as tightly as they can from the bridge of the nose to the chin and that you get good coverage throughout the face so that there aren't gaps. We want to do our best to contain anything that might be emitted from our mouth or nose.
Rose, this weekend is Easter, and it's a time when families have traditionally come together. Can you help us define what our strategy should be as we approach the holiday on Sunday?
I know it's very difficult for folks not to engage in their usual holiday customs of going to church, of engaging in Easter egg hunts and having a big dinner with their family and friends. We know that right now it's an extremely difficult time, and I encourage folks to be as patient as they can. The most ideal situation is that we avoid those groups of larger than five, and that right now we're doing our best to stay safe so that we know, hopefully a few months from now, we will be able to engage in those activities and spend more time at our churches and with our families. But we want to make sure folks are safe now so that they can enjoy those opportunities later on. So if there's the if folks can at all avoid being with friends, relatives, and that, I understand how difficult it can be, but in the long term, it'll keep us safer and healthier and allow folks, especially those who are most vulnerable, to enjoy those days ahead when we are when this is behind us.
Are there resources that public health has that could be beneficial for us, Rose?
Yes, there are so many. I rely, as a healthcare worker, on information that comes from the Centers for Disease Control. I also rely heavily on information that comes from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. For companion documents or additional information, I often go to Governor Evers' website as well because it can provide more detail or it can help to answer questions that may emerge after emergency orders or other guidance have been provided. Our Richland County website has an area dedicated specifically to COVID-19. We also have a Facebook page here at our Health and Human Services as part of that, our agency, trying to get information out to folks in the community. Those are resources that folks can feel very comfortably accessing. And also, when we know more about how the community is feeling, it helps us to provide them with information that may help them feel more comfortable, but most importantly, help them feel more safe. There are other resources specific to creating face masks as well. You can consult a YouTube channel. Some hospitals, such as Frederick in Milwaukee, has information regarding how to create those face coverings. And then I do know that at our municipal building and also in a recent shopping news, typically for folks in the Grand Iowa and Lafayette area, there was an actual pattern and list of materials needed, and that information we could make available as well. But yes, lots of resources folks can feel comfortable accessing.
Well, Rose, we certainly wish you the best. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for what I know you will be doing here in the near term.
Thank you so much. We sure appreciate all the help that you've been providing to our community.
Well, thank you, Rose.
We're also joined today by Tracy Thorson, who is the Health and Human Services Director. Tracy, it's great to welcome you and to have the chance to be able to visit with you. But I think about the things and the services that you've provided over the years. This is one that really challenges you, doesn't it?
Does. This is kind of unprecedented for anything that we've experienced, and I know it creates a lot of concern out in the community and just among everybody.
Let's talk a little bit about just the challenges of dealing with anxiety, the nervousness, the unknown, and wondering what's coming next. You know, kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, people have a lot of really understandable concerns that are very valid out in the community. People are worried about whether or not they might get sick or even worried about whether or not they might inadvertently pass the virus on to somebody else unknowingly. There's concerns about finances and taking care of our families and a lot of concerns just about not being able to have contact with the people that we're accustomed to having contact with. So that can stir up a lot of angst and anxiety for individuals. And there's things that we can do to try to manage that.
I was thinking about the fact that I'm hearing people talk about social distancing, and they're now delineating the difference between that and social isolation. Is that an important thing to understand, Tracy?
That is an important distinction. The social distancing certainly is keeping that physical distance between us and others so that there isn't an opportunity to transmit or to expose people to the virus. Social isolation is losing contact with people, and there's just a lot of different ways that we can maintain contact with one another, especially in the age of the technology that we have available. There's, you know, the ability to keep contact using phone and video chatting, and we can see one another. We just have to keep our distance from one another to maintain that distancing directive.
Tracy, if I look and I think, gosh, everyone else is doing good with this social distancing, but I'm feeling concerned. Is that a fair feeling?
That's a completely fair feeling. I think a lot of times we don't recognize what one another is dealing with. Anxiety is not something that's always visible. In fact, sometimes we don't even recognize that we might be experiencing anxiety because it presents itself in so many different ways. Anxiety can present itself as, physical symptoms. People can experience stomach or digestive distress and not realize that that's really a symptom of anxiety. We might have trouble concentrating or paying attention to things. We might have difficulty sleeping. And sometimes people can experience increased irritability when they feel anxious. And when we talk about, seeing people out in the community, sometimes that raised level of irritability can present itself as feeling frustrated with what other people are doing or not doing to contribute to trying to prevent the spread. And that may be just really anxiety-driven and not realizing that that's what we're feeling.
I can only assume there are some people, thinking about, if I wear a mask, everyone's going to think that I'm overly concerned. If I don't wear a mask, somebody's going to think I don't care, and it's like I can't win for losing.
Kind of feels that way. I know for the first time over the weekend, I went grocery shopping, and the new guidance had just come out, and I was feeling exactly the same way. I did find something that I could use as a mask and went into the grocery store and found a little bit of sense of belonging with the other individuals who decided to go in and wear a mask. But it felt a little unusual. It's not something that I was used to, and I think this is a new time for us to just do some of these new things and know that we're doing our part when we do them.
For those who've dealt with anxiety issues in the past, is this an even more difficult time for them, Tracy?
It definitely can be. It can trigger more anxiety for individuals. People who have dealt with anxiety in the past, if they've developed some coping strategies, they've learned some of the things that are going to help them. But anxiety is a pretty common thing for people to experience, and it can, get to a point where it rises to needing professional help, but it's not uncommon for people to experience anxiety, especially at times like this. I think what we want to do is let people know that this is a normal experience in the things that we're going through.
What is your advice for us about how much social media we consume, how many news broadcasts we watch and listen to, or how many things we read? What would you tell us, Tracy?
Well, I think it's really important to try to control what we consume for information. We can go on overload, and that can just stir up greater anxiety if all we do is listen to the news about what's happening with COVID-19, if we're continually on social media and focused on that. I think giving ourselves a break from that is really important. We need to know what's happening. We need to understand some of the news, but if we don't put some limits around it, that can just trigger the anxiety and make things worse.
I'm wondering, Tracy, if we would look at our social distancing as our part to make a difference for our community, if it would help us realize that what we're doing is a good thing?
Yeah, I think that there's some camaraderie in that for us all to feel like we're doing our part. It took us a little while, even in our office, to get used to keeping a little bit of space between us. And I found that, many of us have responded by saying, I want to give you some space so that you can feel protected. And I think that sense of what we're doing is doing our part for everybody in our community kind of gives us a sense of us all being in it together.
Are there some resources that you have that might help us deal with some of the things that you and I've had a chance to visit about today?
Yeah, there's some things to think about and some resources to share. One is there's things that all of us can do to manage anxiety, and to recognize that by putting these things into practice, we can minimize or reduce the amount of anxiety we might be experiencing. And some of that includes things like exercising, following the guidelines that Rose laid out. Another thing would be making sure that we're communicating with people that are supportive and positive in our lives. Keeping those connections really helps us feel less anxious. Additionally, kind of trying to figure out what our new routine is. You know, our lives have changed quite a bit, and making some adjustment and developing new routines for what we're going through right now. The other thing is finding ways that we can relax and just disconnect from everything that's happening. So that might be enjoying movies that kind of are feel-good movies. It might involve things like meditation and mindfulness. Meditation is one of those things, and we also use the term mindfulness. There's a lot of apps that you can get on your smartphone. One of my favorite one is called Headspace, and it's got just little exercises to kind of help you slow down and try not to have everything that you're thinking and worrying about be on your plate, and really focus on just what's right here and right now.
What if somebody feels that, you know, I really do need some help, I need to talk to someone? Are there opportunities for that too, Tracy?
Definitely. There are various ways to connect with people. There are some crisis lines and text lines that people can reach out to. There's a specific, I think it's called a disaster distress line that people are able to contact. And I'm just going to give you the phone number for that. There's two ways that you can access it, is by phone or by text. You can call 1-800-985-5990, or you can text by texting the phrase "talk with us" to 66746, and someone is available to talk through what you might be experiencing. There are also, if you're feeling that this is at a higher level of concern and you feel like you're in crisis, there's some crisis resources. Certainly our agency provides crisis services, and we do that through a 24-hour crisis line. That's how you would connect with the crisis system, and that's through an agency called Northwest Connections that the county works with, and that number is 888-552-6642. I guess if a person is feeling that they really are wanting something more to help them, there's also a lot of counseling resources available. Certainly our office provides counseling. Even though our offices are closed, we do have counseling available. We're like many of the medical facilities, are providing telehealth. And there are also several other counseling agencies here in our community that I think are also providing telehealth services.
Well, Tracy, thank you for the work you're doing, and best wishes, because I know this work is going to continue for some time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Clint Langrick is with us as well. Clint is the county administrator for Richland County. Clint, I hear many good things about the things that are going on with the virtual EOC meetings, and I'm impressed. Darren talked the other day about all the partners, all the spokes in the wheel that are coming together to be able to, you know, discuss potential issues, answers to issues, and just keep everybody in the loop.
Certainly, Darren has done a terrific job in coordinating our EOC effort. We have membership partners from our folks at the hospital, from our assisted care and nursing facilities, partners that we're liaisoning with, small businesses, with our industry sector. We're trying to bring a representative from each element of our community together to trade our ideas and our experiences, and to try to help push accurate information out to get folks directed to resources that may help them.
Are most county services right now continuing, even though you're doing things a bit differently? Are they still there, Clint?
That is correct. We are keeping our services up to the best extent that we can. Again, we're postured with our doors have restricted access, and we are continuing to provide many of our resources that we can through electronic format or through the mail. Now, granted, a lot of our services are people-to-people contact. When we start talking about law enforcement with our ambulance and emergency response folks, and of course, all of our nurses, our CNAs, our healthcare providers out at our nursing home at Pine Valley, there's a lot of services that we're providing in person that we're maintaining protection through PPE, but overall, our goal is to continue to provide those services to the community.
I think about all the people who serve us every single day, and sometimes I think, Clint, we take them for granted, but boy, now we realize just how important all these services are that the county provides.
It is, especially this week when you start looking at the polling effort. For us to conduct a pillar and a centerpiece of our form of government, all the volunteers, all the city municipal clerks that put in extra hours to our county clerk office, to the National Guard members that came and helped augment our efforts, it was quite an effort, and we had feedback from all the different protocols that were put into place to help protect our voters and our poll workers. We heard stories of plexiglass shields and plastic shields and using Q-tips and having extra personnel in place to help manage flows in and out of buildings. It was quite a community effort, and it's something I think we should be proud of that we were still able to execute it and to try to take as much health into consideration as we could.
Years ago, Anne Murray recorded a song, A Little Good News. She just needed a little good news. I think we all do. Are there some positive things that you can share, Clint, from your perspective as our county administrator?
Certainly. I think, you know, like you said, it's the little things that are making a difference and impacting. As Tracy had mentioned, there's lots of anxieties that we're having as individuals in the safer at home protocols that we're following. But there's also all the stresses that we're feeling out in our work communities, especially a lot of our employees that are pushed into those face-to-face direct contacts, which is a big thing that's making an impact on them are the small thank yous. An example for the last couple weeks is there was a thank you Pine Valley nurses and staff signs that were put up that I think had a huge impact on showing an appreciation back to our workers. So all those efforts that are going into showing appreciation for those folks that work for the government and all the efforts that are going into show appreciation for all the folks that are working in our essential services, in industry, in our markets, in our stores. I think all the little things is what's going to get us through this together.
Clint, certainly Rose and Tracy both talked about resources that they have that they're referring. Are there some additional resources that you'd like to be able to mention?
All of our, rather than going to additional, I would say I'd put in a plug in for in accessing our services for the county, we want to continue to direct people to our COVID website. And that address is covid.co.richland.wi.us. And that is the central location that we're continuing to try to get all of our information and our changes to. Comparably then, for folks in the business and industry section, we're directing those folks to the Richland Center Chamber of Commerce page. And that address, again, is gorcchamber.com.
Is there anything else that you'd like to be able to share from your standpoint as administrator today, Clinton?
I'd like to, again, just put a big thank you out to all the folks that came together to help us in our election effort. I think it's a great testament to the community of all the folks that came together to accomplish that. And I'd like to thank also all the folks that are following in compliance with the guidelines and doing the right thing and following the directives and helping our law enforcement efforts in trying to manage this situation.
Thank you, Clint. I certainly appreciate that. Rose, I want to be able to finish with you. And one thing I have learned through all of this is I have not been a very good hand washer. With all these things that have been talked about, I realize, gosh, I could have been doing a lot better a long time ago.
You know, recommendations have been out for a while, particularly those who work in healthcare, regarding the length of time that is optimal for washing hands. And I know that singing happy birthday twice or just being as cognizant as you can with washing the entire surfaces of your hands, whether it be just the palms, but also including between the fingers, around the fingernails and cuticles, and up to the wrists. If you're more cognizant and spend that time, approximately 20 seconds doing that, you'll actually reduce quite a burden of pathogens from your hands.
Does it make any difference what kind of soap I use, Rose?
Typically, soap is soap in that it's actually created to love both water and to both hate water. But what it does is that it actually works to take apart, and the use of friction as well actually works to take pathogens and scrub them from the surface of the hands. But also, in some cases, it deactivates them by just creating a suboptimal environment for them. But also, it can help kill them or tear them apart just because of how they are put together as far as their makeup goes. As far as the pathogens are put together, it can help destroy that.
Now, sometimes we see antibacterial soaps. Is that a necessity?
Not necessarily, no. Soap and water alone is effective, just as long as you engage in the process long enough to really give your hands a good thorough cleaning.
It's the cheapest and easiest way to be on the path to health, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
Is there something you would add to help us just prepare for the Easter weekend, Rose? Maybe a reminder if somebody's just joining us or otherwise that is important?
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, it's very difficult because we love to engage in the customs that we normally do from year to year. And we know we've been away from our families for a period of time as well, and that makes it very difficult. If we can reach out to them via phone or via a virtual environment and let them know how we feel, I think that may help us feel better. But we also know that the more we're able to engage in preventive measures, the more healthy we will be and our families will be and our neighbors will be, and ultimately our community will be, so that we can enjoy many more years and times together. But right now, it really requires our dedication to this effort so that, again, we can get through it in the most healthy way possible.
Clint, just a final word from you. For those that are getting a chance to see the video, and this is certainly something that I know you're going to keep working on and fine-tuning, but we're getting a glimpse into the EOC, aren't we?
You are. This is our little brain center, if you will. Now, keep in mind, though, when we do conduct an EOC briefing that you hear from our reports on in the mornings, there's really only about two extra bodies that are in here. Myself and many of folks are joining through our webcast or platforms through our video teleconferencing, but this is the room that kind of facilitates and brings together the many members of the community to have those conversations.
I feel privileged to be able to visit with each one of you and to be able to say on behalf of a community that I think sometimes we forget to say how much we appreciate you, but thank you for the work you do every day and the extra work you're doing these days.